Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hey, Road Trippin' fans, homage t-shirts are as ferocious as the dunks or bangouts Richard and Channing throw down from time to time, and their softness can't even be matched. Homage has been turning back the clock with throwback tees for years. From the NBA to the Ultimate Warrior, you know, the tee that LeBron wore on the plane after leading the Cavs to its first title the city had seen in over 50 years. Well, Homage tells the stories of triumph, individualism, and hustle, preserving the old school and creating new legacies. Go to homage.com, that's H-O-M-A-G-E, and pay homage with your favorite tee. Be sure to check out the NBA Jam tees and one exclusively made for me and you. Better yet, three other tees designed specific to the Road Trippin' fam you'll want to check out. We're road tripping at homage.com.
Salute.
We welcome you into another edition of Road Trippin', Richard versus Channing. I'm your host, Allie Clifton. We're off on the ones and twos. I'm, as always, rolling with hashtag Team Channing.
Yep.
Right across from me. And I think for the very first time on Road Trippin', period, we have a NFL superstar, arguably future Hall of Famer, living Browns legend, Joe Thomas.
Pressure's on. Pressure's
two first on. Names.
Yeah, you can't trust those guys. That's what my mom always said.
Joe, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good today.
Yeah?
Yeah. A little chilly out there, but
getting in a short-sleeve shirt.
Yeah.
I have six layers on.
I got a little more body fat than you, so it keeps me insulated in these cold Cleveland winters.
I thought you'd be bigger.
Yeah.
You look way bigger
with
all the stuff.
Yeah, that crushed me, but thanks. I appreciate it. I thought you'd be bigger. Those arms, look at them. They're kind of small.
Yeah. You can go vegan?
No, I actually just had elbow surgery, as you can see there.
That's
so
disgusting.
I'm showing you my weak side on purpose here, so you're not too intimidated.
Yeah.
Elbow, I thought it was a tricep tendon.
Well, the tricep attaches right there at the elbow, so that's where they cut you open to screw it back into your elbow.
Educational moment.
At Toledo.
This is amazing. I was just thinking it'd be more the surgery would be.
Yeah, it was the tendon, not the muscle, so the tendon attaches down there, and usually you don't cut the tendon in half.
How painful
you don't? You don't do that?
No, not th- it hurt, but I think it was more shocking to not be able to move your arm when you want to. More than anything, you know, it just kind of gets in your head when you're, like, trying to move your arm and you just can't do it.
Yeah.
And so I think it's kind of a queasy feeling in your stomach.
Dude. Speaking of injuries, let's get right to it.
Please.
Okay. The NFL, big thing. How can – people are talking about, like, how can the NFL become safer but still be the NFL where guys can actually hit each other? How can that happen? Like, where's the medium?
Mm-hmm. I wish I had a good answer because what you've seen here in the last couple decades is guys are getting continually bigger and faster and stronger.
Yeah.
And those collisions are just becoming more violent.
Yeah.
And as the game has spread out, you're getting guys that are running with bigger head starts in different directions and getting hit from all sides. Versus, you know, in the old days when everyone's kind of tight, mushed together, you're just kind of mushing into each other. There wasn't a big running start. So you weren't seeing as many of these catastrophic injuries. But as the game has evolved and players have spread out all over the field, they're getting hit from all over the place by bigger and faster guys than ever before. And so you're seeing the results of that with all of these really bad injuries that we've seen on the field in the last few years, especially this season.
Damn.
You're in the thick of it all too oftentimes with your position, obviously. How much do you and maybe other players, do you think guys actually think about that? You don't want to fear the game.
Yeah, you can't really think about it too much because that will prevent you from being able to do your job. You can't walk on that field with fear because it's almost like being around a dog. You know, your opponents will smell that, and they're going to take advantage of it.
I wrestled a dog once.
How'd that turn out?
It was good. It was a tiny little guy. He was so cute.
He would.
But, yeah, I think, you know, for the game, I wish I had an easy answer. They're trying to take away some of those big head hits. I think maybe one thing they need to look at in the future is for defenseless receivers not allowing them to get hit below the knees. Oh. Because you've seen the target, you know, in the old days, everyone would try to hit him in the head. When a receiver was defenseless catching a ball, the defensive back would come in and hit him in the head.
Right.
But they took that out of the game because of concussions, which was a good thing.
But now
instead of going for the head, everyone's going low. And so you're seeing injuries like Odell Beckham and those other guys where as soon as they land, the guy's coming at 20 miles an hour and diving right at the back of their knees.
Yeah.
And, you know, blowing out knees and ankles. And I think that's the next step the NFL is going to make. And that'll probably help a little bit, but you still have this problem of bigger, faster guys hitting each other from more crazy different angles all over the field. And it's just a violent game.
Other than the rules, obviously, you know, they changed with the center position that they no longer have the head-on collision. Has it changed a lot in your position in terms of the head-on-head collisions at the line of impact?
Not really, because for linemen, there's really nothing you could really change. I mean, you're going to line up against each other and smash into each other every play. So there's not a whole lot of change you can make there. I think the only change they've made on the line in a few years is they don't allow – or they're more strict about the cut blocks from the offensive lineman, where a cut block is offensive lineman goes and dives in.
On the defensive lineman's legs,
they want to make sure that it's happening from in front of the defensive lineman now and not from the side. In the old days, they were much more lenient about – diving at the side of knees and stuff like that, but now they'll throw that penalty flag.
But nothing for the head, though.
Nothing for the head. I mean, there's really nothing they can do other than if you took the helmet off, then guys wouldn't be hitting with their head. They'd be using their hands. It'd be more like rugby. Yeah. But I don't know if that's going to happen anytime soon.
You were really good at basketball.
I don't know if I would say
your
really
wife
good. My wife played
baller.
In college. Yeah, yeah. she played in college.
Shout out,
look
Annie.
At, look at.
Yeah, yeah. I know you're excited about that. Yeah. No, I played high school and I was all state, but that's Wisconsin. So
still, Wisconsin is good. Best.
Yeah.
I mean, the college team is good, but in high school, it's like, you know, I was like a 12 points, 10 rebounds guy.
Oh, I hated 60 guys versus you.
Four fouls. Yeah.
Dude, imagine
hard fouls.
Four hard fouls.
AAU team.
Huh. Suggs was on your AAU team.
Yes,
no
dude.
Way. Are you from Chicago?
No, I'm from Phoenix. He's from
okay,
Phoenix.
So he, yeah, yeah, okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so dude, listen, like, whenever we had to play them, he was like, I got Channing. I was like, man, damn. Dude, he's like, you know, back then he was a running back.
Oh, my gosh.
So could you imagine him? Like, I remember we watched him play one time. He used to catch the kickoffs. And he literally stiff-armed this dude and concussed him off a stiff arm. Like, the dude came running, he just mushed him to the ground and bowled over everybody.
Oh,
it was
amazing.
It was amazing. Like, T. Suggs, he's out there, dude. He's still a good dude. I saw him when we played D.C. the other night, and it was just like, dude, you're like 100 pounds bigger than what I thought you'd be. But no, it just playing against guys like you in high school, I was like, you know, 6'8", barely 200 pounds, and you got to like, man, I can't do that with this.
Yeah,
man.
You don't want to go banging the boards.
No, I'm just going to block. Yeah, I'm just going to block you guys. But, like, you know what's funny, and I was kind of thinking about it, in Cleveland, in Ohio, I'm on the Cavs, and we do pretty good for ourselves. But I'm going to tell you this. We're probably the third favorite team in Ohio. It does not matter. Like,
Behind
you know,
who?
Oh, number one, the Browns.
Yeah.
Literally the Browns. And then it's Ohio State. Right?
Yeah.
Then it's Ohio State.
Badger living in Buckeye Nation.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
You're right, though. It is totally a football town.
Ugh.
And I think that's just like the makeup of the people that are here. Just that blue-collar mentality.
Joe, when you came on Cavs HQ last year, I think I mentioned to you that you had to come on Road Trippin', that we would have loved to have you on Road Trippin'.
Yeah,
Ever since, of course.
Awesome.
But a lot has happened with you. Not to mention you started the first NFL podcast in NFL history with Joe Thomas.
That's right. Yeah.
How is that going? Quite an honor. How is that going? Shout out, because it is on iTunes. It is on Google Play.
Yes, you actually can get it on iTunes and other platforms that I'm not sure about, but they tell me that you can get it over there. I know I can get it in the podcast app. That's where I listen to my own podcast.
But that's where you're going wrong. You never listen to them.
I have yet to listen to one.
Well, I only have two, so not a big sample size. But it was fun. You know, I actually really enjoyed doing it. I enjoy the radio side of things because you don't have a camera there that – gets
you can
guys.
Wear whatever you want.
Exactly. I'm naked right now. You guys can't even tell. No, but I think when you bring a guest on, and especially we got a young team, so a lot of young guys aren't used to being in front of a camera. You put a camera in their face and they lock up. They don't want to talk.
Yep.
But you put a headphone on and they kind of forget that they're on the radio and they're talking, and it becomes just a conversation. Mm-hmm. And it was fun. We did David Njoku, the tight end from Miami, who's a rookie this year, the first podcast. And then we did Joel Bitonio last week. And then we were planning on doing Christian Kirksey this week, but I got sick didn't think it would make for a good podcast if I was sneezing all over the place. And so we had to cancel that. So my NFL streak of 10,000 plus snaps and my podcast streak of two podcasts got broken this year. And it's very sad.
10,000 snaps, dude.
Well,
I can't even.
Isn't that crazy? I will tell you, we're jumping around a little bit, but I will tell you, I was watching that
this
game.
This is a podcast. This is what we do.
You're right.
There are no rules.
Watching that game that you got injured, and I kid you not, it put in perspective, this sounds absolutely crazy, but when you have a streak going like that, the second you went off the field, it's like that streak's gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not game per se, like will he be back for next week? Mm-hmm. It's that next moment.
Mm-hmm.
Did that cross your mind, like right away? Obviously, you're injured, but.
No, it did. Obviously, there was a lot made out of the streak this season because we got to 10,000, but. It's funny in football, when you are on the ground and trainers come out, you have to leave the game. So the second the trainers came
your
on the field.
Your streak was over, whether or not you were coming
over.
Back.
Yeah. Whether I thought I got hurt and I really didn't.
Yes.
Or like, you know, at that point, I was really glad that I got hurt seriously and that it wasn't like he was crying wolf and we had to take him out of the game.
Man, that would suck.
He just bruised his elbow and he'll be back there the next play. But I think it was one of those surreal moments when you're laying on the ground wondering, well, what happened to my elbow? But also, like, wow, the 11 years that I put into this is over. No problem. That's the plan. So 11 more years to get back there. It shouldn't be a problem.
Just chuck that.
Be 44.
Just one more.
At what point in the streak were you aware of it, and how difficult was it at the end of those December games that, you know, where everybody's taking a time off and snap here or snap there, at what point were you aware that you have to keep that going?
Mm-hmm. I think it was around year 5 or 6 that I realized I had not missed any plays just noticed it because people started talking about it. And then it was year 9 and 10 where our media department started to follow the actual number of snaps and try to plan out when I would get to 10,000. And it was a little stressful towards the end of it just because I was like, man, whatever you do, don't go down with like a crappy injury. That would be embarrassing to lose it now. It was really cool.
So you have this podcast, the first NFL podcast, NFL history with Joe Thomas, iTunes and Google Play. And we talked a little bit before how it's associated with the Browns currently. But I didn't know if you were aware. If you weren't, Road Trippin' is associated with a great company called Uninterrupted.
Oh, yes.
Who has actually reached out and would love to have you a part of their platform.
Oh, wow. Well, that's pretty awesome.
A lot of free shit.
Now we're talking.
Here we go.
Yes.
Obviously.
We've been begging for a sponsor for a long time.
All two podcasts.
Yes, for both of them. Two weeks.
They continue. I'm sure you've seen a lot. Via social media and so forth with athletes and led by LeBron James and those who they have with their company. They've just worked so well. And I think their podcast platform is expanding.
Mm-hmm.
And we mentioned that you would be our guest this week and they would love to have you.
Oh, wow.
Platform.
Well, that's really awesome.
That would be
excited.
Amazing.
That's super awesome.
Their connections are.
So one of my teammates, Andrew Hawkins, he works for them with Maverick and those guys a little bit.
Of course.
And he's got me on Uninterrupted a couple times just doing little selfie videos. And I've always enjoyed being on their social media page and reading the things that they put together, and it's pretty neat. So that's awesome, man. I'm really excited about that.
I think with Uninterrupted, I just love how they stand for what they say they are.
You
know, and this is an example of being able to do just that. But speaking of Hawk, he went to Toledo.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Hey, you got that connection. Toledo,
Toledo Torpedo?
Toledo. You ever been to Toledo?
Believe it or not, my dad's side of the family is all from Toledo.
Shout out.
For like 15 years growing up, we would always come out to Toledo for a family reunion every July.
Oh, boy.
Toledo. I know.
Channing, we've talked about it a lot. Channing took a trip to Toledo for football.
I wasn't
ready. Actually.
I wasn't
the Glass
ready.
Bowl? Did you go to the Glass Bowl?
No, we didn't even make it inside.
Didn't make it inside.
We didn't make it inside.
You saw it and you're like, I'm good.
No. I saw it and then, I was like, somebody roofied me.
Channing, zero. Speaking of that, though, my husband actually played college ball in Wisconsin Stevens Point.
Oh, sure.
And right, he told me a story after a couple of your first years in the league. The Browns were out of the playoffs, and he
go
was
figure.
Okay, wait, I don't know if you're sensitive about Browns jokes.
I'm not.
Okay, good. Okay, here we go.
Storing
those up.
He coached at Wisconsin Green Bay, and the backyard of his home was Lambeau.
Oh yeah,
and they were tailgating for a Packer game, and he ran into you—not ran into you per se, but you were at a tailgate, similar, dressed in all camo, just throwing him back.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy! That was so long ago. I remember that.
You do?
Well, I've only went to like one Packer game in my life, so
You said you were dressed in all camo.
I definitely remember that. Yeah, it was a cold game, but it was fun.
Really?
It was
like my
first. Yeah, oh,
it
really?
Was cold.
I know. January, it was cold in Green Bay.
Lambeau Field is cold and gross.
It was frozen tundra.
Gross.
That's I would not even play. Listen, my streak would be like four snaps. It's too cold. Nobody should play.
I was actually going to ask you, since he was an All-State Hooper, could you play football? Did you play football?
Oh, listen. I was like so disgustingly skinny and like lanky that I was like, even my dad and them were like, well, maybe you should just go so you can lift with them, like do stuff like that. So I literally talked to the football coach. Yeah, toughen him up. Yeah. So I was like, hey, coach, you know, do you mind if I come? He goes, Channing, don't even.
No, we don't need a problem.
We have nothing that fits you. Go over there. Go play basketball. Just focus on that. So I said, I'm absolutely okay with that. It just started hooping. But no, they wouldn't let me. Everything I tried to do, they were like, go play basketball. I was in the band.
You were in the band?
Till ninth grade.
What
instrument?
Freshman
year. I played the trumpet and the baritone.
Really? I was a baritone guy.
Were
second
you?
Chair.
Yeah,
two out of two. No big deal.
Nobody cares.
Yeah. But, dude, yeah. And then finally, like, it was between still being in a band or, like, six-period basketball. And the band coach was, like, Channing. I was like, but coach, I might make first year. And it's like, he's like, Channing, no, this kid, like, you know, I forgot the kid's name, but he was actually really good. And I was like, really into it. He's like, Channing, go play basketball. I was like, okay, I'll go play. And so I started practicing and started like kind of loving basketball. I was like, they made me. I gave up my love of music.
Have you ever, Channing, in your life hunted?
Hunted?
Are you a hunter?
I'm a fisher.
Oh. You're a
fisher. I'm a big fishing guy. But I told everybody this. Here's my story. When I'm done playing, before I go on to the afterlife, I want to hunt a hog and eat it.
Oh.
A hog.
Just hunt a hog? Do you hunt hogs?
Oh, yeah. Wild pigs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What?
Yes. And they're big.
They're big.
Oh.
Rambo used to do that.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm not trying to go out there with no like 50 cal and coof coof. Yeah, like shoot this thing for real. Like I talked to Birdman when he was here.
Oh yeah.
And Birdman was like, "Yeah, man, we gonna get you down there." And I was like, Bird, I don't know if you're a little crazy for me, Bird. But like, why don't you go with somebody that knows to do it? But before I go, once I retire, I'm come back. I'm gonna go in the woods. I'm gonna go with three or four people who know what the hell they're doing, and I'm gonna go out there and shoot this hog.
Joe, you know a little bit about hunting.
Yeah, I've shot some hogs. It's
you've
fun.
Shot hogs?
Oh, yeah.
They're
delicious. They are stinky.
Yeah.
I mean, they wallow in the mud.
Yes. they are I only know pigs. Javelinas come from Phoenix. So
yeah, javelinas are really stinky.
Yes.
They're like even worse than hogs. The javelinas, they smell like skunks.
Yes, they're horrible. Disgusting.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Why do I feel like hunting a hog would be really easy?
It's not.
Not.
Why?
They're very nocturnal.
Yeah. Oh.
And especially if they've been hunted, they're very skittish. They're smart. You know,
really,
they're smarter animals, yeah. And so
I think a pig is smarter than a dog.
That's what they say.
Yeah, I mean, I want to have a pet pig when I grow up. A potbelly pig.
A potbelly.
Yeah,
pot-belly.
Like, dude, they're awesome. Somebody had one when I was growing up. That guy was awesome. Herb.
That's a perfect name. Herb.
What else do you hunt? You hunt duck.
I like duck hunting. Yeah,
duck hunting.
Yeah. I like deer hunting and turkey hunting are kind of my two
turkeys
favorites.
Turkeys are so ugly.
Yeah, they are ugly.
I didn't know what a turkey – dude, they are too delicious. They got a lot of tryptophan in them.
Yes, you know, they get to take a good nap.
What's a good catch for you that you've had?
Turkey or
– deer. Just
deer? Yeah. A good deer?
That
like
you've
this. Yeah.
And you like to fish?
Like to fish, yeah.
Like ocean fishing or like lakes? Okay.
Everything.
Okay. See, I'm not an ocean guy.
I haven't done a lot of ocean fishing because I grew up in Wisconsin.
No,
I live in Cleveland.
Yeah.
But I like to bass fish. There's great smallmouth bass fishing on Lake Erie. There's great perch and walleye fishing.
Oh, so, it's so cold out there.
You do ice fishing?
I've done some ice fishing, ice fishing on Lake Erie even, which was a little
scary. Is that literally where they drill the hole?
You sit there, you drink beer, and you fish, right?
Yeah, it's social. It's more about the drinking beer, and then you might catch a fish.
I can't really talk when you fish.
Channing, you have to go in the frozen lake, drill a hole, then sit there in the cold.
Yeah, but no, but then you have mad gear on, and you sit there and drink for hours, and you just got to, like, put the pole up.
It's so easy. Hang on.
That's what you do. I've seen many of movies where they do it. It seems awesome.
Keyword, movie.
Yes. You seem warm.
Wait, you can talk when you fish?
Yeah.
You're
not
going to
scare the fish.
You're
confusing fishing and hunting.
No. I've never been hunting. But no, maybe it's just you have to make sure the motor of the boat.
Well, yeah, you don't want to be, like, doing donuts over the fish. They're going to hear that. But what if you're just sitting there having a conversation there?
Ellie, you know fish don't have ears.
That's a lie. They can hear.
No, they're just – they see things. They don't have ears, Ellie. It's sonar in their head. I'm totally joking. I want to see if you believe it. I can't even lie.
I know. I'm like, oh, my God, okay. It's so embarrassing.
Allie was really
Allie's a big outdoors woman, you can tell.
Yeah, oh, man.
Well,
she's wearing a flannel just for you.
Thank you.
No, because it's cold.
That too, yeah.
No, I shared that story where my family goes to Canada and they bring back all those bluegill that you told me was illegal.
Bluegill?
The amount that they brought back.
Well, yeah,
they go
it was
bluegill
your amount
fishing.
That I was questioning.
Yeah, it's like 2,500 bluegill.
Seems like what
are you fishing with, dynamite?
Between 7 of them for a week.
What? 2,500? What are you fishing with, corn?
That's all they do.
Still seems high.
Does it?
2,500?
Does it seem
high? I mean, I'd love to go with them. It sounds like a blast.
You should. First
what
week
do
of
you
June.
Do? That's not even fun. I stock up.
In Canada.
I have a pond in Portland where I lived during the summer, and I stock it with 11, 12-inch trout.
Yeah.
And my kids go out there, and they fish with, like, worm. And these are asexual fish, so, like, the trout get big.
Yeah.
And, dude, the minute you throw it out there and it reaches a certain temp, it's like these things are smacking it. So I could imagine 2,500.
They bluegill. Go out like 5 a.m. to like 10.
Yes.
Then they come back. They do the whole process. They clean them. And then my dad,
there's
for
so
instance,
many bones
will come
in
home
bluegill,
with
though.
Freezer
no,
bags.
There's not too many bones in bluegill. You can cut around them really easy.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Bluegill's not bad.
My parents are just lazy about it. They're always getting bones.
Maybe they're just cooking them whole. Like, if you cook them whole, then
obviously see, there we go.
Lots of bones.
Sounds like a problem.
Allie. Bluegill's good, though.
Bluegill is delicious. It's actually maybe even better than perch. I don't know if you guys like to eat perch up here. You know, Fridays in Lent. It's big around Cleveland. You gotta get your fish fry. Get your perch fry.
From fish to barbecue.
Oh, now we're talking.
Mission?
Yeah.
Right?
Mission Barbecue?
Where's that barbecue.
At? The good restaurant in Parma and Canton.
Ooh.
Yeah. You know, you got to get me in with the Cavs. We can cater your after-game meals.
Ooh.
Yeah, you guys would love it.
And our flight meals?
Yeah, sure. Whatever you guys want. We got lots of food.
I know, but we have, like, somebody vegan. We have somebody. How about this? Cater my food. How about that?
I would like that better than some of the Chick-fil-A we get sometimes.
Chick-fil-A barf.
Oh, just kidding. I love you, Chick-fil-A.
I love Chick-fil-A.
I'm a big Chick-fil-A person, yeah.
I'm just kidding.
I love it, except that, like, in Atlanta, I usually go in the gym before the game. So when I get pregame, I like to have a healthy meal. And we get to the media dining in Atlanta. And all it is a box of cold Chick-fil-A sandwich.
Oh, yeah, that's gross.
Like, I don't mind Chick-fil-A, but when it's cold
And
it's just a cookie and a bag of chips, that's the media dining.
You should ask him for the Cobb salad at Chick-fil-A with, like, the avocado dressing.
Ooh.
It's outstanding. With the grilled chicken. Man. It's unbelievable.
I can't go to Chick-fil-A and not get a spicy chicken sandwich.
Thank you. I mean,
they're waffle fries.
Yes. Hot.
Yeah.
You know, planting the media, and they like stacked against the wall, and they just give you a box.
Just like, here, these are leftovers. That's grossy.
I crushed those boxes.
You were eating it in the plane on the way back.
I agree. Yeah.
Disgusting.
So, what do you guys cater after games? I'm really interested. If you guys have a lot of vegans, like, how do you replenish your proteins?
Like Derek Millender. So those guys eat like crazy. So they eat all type of like beans and oatmeal, and they have their stuff dialed in. And then most of the time we eat pretty healthy. Like
it's catered from in-house.
Yeah, the in-house stuff after game. Cleveland is really, really good. Like,
shout out to Armac.
Dude, yeah, I'm a big barbecue guy during the summer, but I can't. Like the hardest thing I've ever tried to cook was a brisket, and I absolutely ruined it.
Oh, really?
It was like I was like doing the YouTube thing. Like, oh, yeah.
You're like, oh, this is going to be awesome. I can't wait.
It's going to be awesome. Can't wait. And
call the neighbors
like
over.
It looked like a crusty turd when it was done. Like, I was like, this is too bad. Give me a pork butt. I put it on the Traeger. ribs. I'm good.
You're a grill master. You like to grill,
I don't know
right?
about that. You know, I'm jealous that you've got a Traeger because I've never gotten that far, but I like doing steaks and chickens pork tenderloins and stuff lamb chops on the grill. I'm not good at like the smoking and like the long stuff. I haven't figured that out yet.
Yeah.
Because that takes a long time. You got to have that right temperature and the right smoke for a long time.
Dude, my buddy Joe Williams, he actually works for Fox, I think, still in L.A. And then he's the one that got me into like ribs and stuff like that. Oh. So, like, and then everyone, like, when my boy, dude, ribs are so good.
I love ribs.
Yeah. But during the summer, it's like, well, okay, I still got to try and stay skinny, but what can I eat a lot? Oh, protein.
Protein, that's right.
Just so, you know, just sitting out there, you know, watch the family in the pool. I sit, plays music, sit by the grill, have a few adult beverages, you know, talk some shit, play some cards, and then just make sure, like, I'm, you know, I got like a regular grill, almost like a Green Egg type thing, and I got my Traeger. So like I'll put it on the Traeger first and then put it on the grill and just let it sit there for like 6-7 hours. Mm. Oh man, so good.
What's your rib secret?
It's not really a secret, but it's more like I like to let my ribs sit overnight. Like so like I'll
cook overnight
before I cook them.
Like marinate them?
Yeah. Keep the seasoning on them and then do that. And like my steak, like I like skirt steak because it's like easy to make like tacos and stuff like that. But I put it right on the coals.
Oh.
Yeah, so I don't put it on the grill. I put it right on the coals. And
like
wrap
like
it in
touching
foil.
The coals.
Yeah. Like touching the coals.
I've never made that before.
Yeah, so it's like the coals. Yeah. So you take a skirt steak, you like season it up, you let it sit out for an hour until it starts to sweat.
Yeah.
And then you throw it right on the grill, right? For like, you know, however you want, medium, rare, medium, whatever. And then you could tell, and then you wrap it up for a certain amount of time, and it still continues to cook. And then if you want, like, the grill marks, you want to get fancy, then you throw it on the grill. Then you chop that up.
I'm taking notes over here. Right. Say that again?
Yeah, dude. Just go to YouTube. Be like, skirt steak right on the thing.
Do you grill at Mission Barbecue?
So Mission Barbecue, everything is cooked in these giant smokers they have in the back. It's all overnight. They cook with red oak logs.
Yeah.
And it's each machine is like 250 grand, and there's two of them in each store. Right, and it's got a rotating rack that like they put like
everything.
20 ribs on. And the next rack is like 20 briskets, and the next rack is like 100 chickens. And then it just cooks, you know, however long. Like the brisket's like 18 hours, I think, and the ribs are like 12 hours.
What's it called? Mission
Barbecue,
check it out.
Yeah, so it gets that beautiful smoke flavor, and it's perfectly tempered. Temperature control. It's kind of like a Traeger.
What kind of sides y'all got?
So the sides are amazing. Yeah. So our baked beans, we put the brisket trimmings in there.
Tight.
To give it like that little extra deliciousness.
Okay.
And the green beans, we put bacon
of course,
chunks
obviously.
In there, which is
yeah.
amazing. Perfect. And then we got really good cornbread and French fries and
mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese is awesome. We put like these little crumbly crispies on top of the mac and cheese. That just gives it a nice crunchy texture on top.
So what made you be like, listen, I love this so much, I'm gonna buy a restaurant?
So I just totally stumbled into it. When I was a rookie in the NFL, I signed with Under Armour.
Right.
And the guy that signed me was from Wisconsin.
Right.
And him and I just became friends. And then after about 5 years, he cashed in his chips at Under Armour and then just retired. You know, he was living on easy street.
Right.
But he always had this passion for barbecue, and he knew he wanted to do something. You know, he was a young guy. So he met a former executive at Outback, and they came up with
Bloomin' Onions.
Yeah. They came up with this whole idea for a fast casual barbecue joint because they didn't think there was really anything like that out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And so about 4 or 5 years ago, they started the first store in Baltimore.
Yeah.
And he'd always been telling me, hey, when I open this restaurant, just I'd love you to be a partner.
Yeah, yeah.
And my dad was in finance, and he did restaurants and stuff. And he always said, whatever you do, if you make money in the NFL, don't invest in a bar or a restaurant.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's like everyone loses money.
Yeah.
So the whole time I'm in the back of my head, like, I'm doing exactly what my dad said don't do. I'm investing in a restaurant. But it's been a lot of fun, and I've been able to eat a lot of good barbecue. So even if we don't ever make any money, I'm still really happy.
Yeah, you get to.
Free food.
Free food.
Would that be your go-to genre of food? Barbecue? Is that your favorite?
I would say I love food. So three. So the one thing I can never turn down is pizza.
Okay.
I think that's kind of universal. The one genre I would eat every day, every meal for the rest of my life is Mexican food.
Oh, that's my guy.
And then
burritos for life, dog.
You can wrap anything in a tortilla and it's delicious.
It totally is.
See?
That is so correct. See?
You said that.
You stole it from me.
No, that's my mantra.
Tell me, what did you say? Tell me one thing that, or if someone can tell me what cannot be wrapped in a tortilla or something like that. You said on like Cabin HQ.
I don't think anybody came up with something you can't put in a tortilla and make it better. Tortilla just makes it mobile.
Yeah.
It's the delivery device. You know, it just makes it clean and mobile, and so you don't have to use utensils.
Exactly.
Okay, and three is what?
Barbecue. Barbecue's not good for breakfast.
No.
Sometimes you're not feeling it for lunch, but like for dinner.
But sometimes like small barbecue. I've had some really good brisket and eggs.
I could do that.
Brisket.
But
like
put
a brisket, eggs, but like and then a hash brown and you wrap it in a tortilla.
Oh man.
Oh.
Boom. So you're putting all three together.
Exactly.
Boom.
What kind of tortilla?
Oh my God.
So that's the real question.
Yeah. Seriously.
Like a regular flour.
No, like flour or corn.
Oh, flour.
Flour,
flour. Flour. Yeah. You can't have like the corn tortilla is more for like fish.
Cold or warm?
Oh, warm. You got to throw it on the burner.
You gotta
on the burner until it gets one bubble and then flip it until it gets that bubble goes up and then that's good.
Yeah. It's a crime against humanity to not heat up your tortilla before you put your stuff in.
So when you're talking tortilla, you're talking wrap.
Yeah, like.
Not thick tortilla.
No. Like
you got to come to my mom's home and try the thick tortilla.
The thick tortilla? Oh, yeah, listen, like we just got
flour,
the regular.
But thick.
We got the white people tortillas.
Shut up.
Yeah, we got the white people
tortillas. We have our version of tortillas, which is used like a bread.
Yeah.
Instead of the like a loaf of bread, we just use the tortilla.
Oh, and then you just
you
cut break it off and
you
eat
it with whatever you're eating, either meat or rice, whatever you're eating. It's kind of like a
that's
side.
Tight.
Yeah.
Like a
that's
side
good.
Scoop. Yeah.
I mean, tortilla is tasty. A flour tortilla is really tasty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For those who, a lot of food talk and number talk, because I want to go to the next 1, 2, 3 that you have out there in this world.
Oh man.
I'm just going to go on record and say that you're one of the most fun guys to follow on social media on Twitter.
Thank you.
So if you're not following Joe Thomas, it's at JoeThomas73.
Oh, thanks for the pub.
Anytime.
I'm a follower right now.
I follow already.
And 4 days ago, it's your pinned tweet right now.
Man.
You said things I hate in this world in order are 1, losing. Okay. Obvious. 2, I told this to Channing and he was like, what? Drapes. Explain.
I'm having a hard time talking about it. I'm sweating over here.
Oh, is that? I thought it was just me. Dude, I'm so sweaty.
Dude,
that's because you have 5 layers on.
So we're remodeling our house in Wisconsin right now, and there's no drapes on the windows in the main level.
Oh.
So the decorator's like coming in, let's put drapes up here. You know, we got these big, beautiful windows. It has a gorgeous view with the sunlight coming in. And we're going to spend, you know, $2,000 to cover up the sunlight and make the whole place look like a cave. I just can't stand it. I think they're old. I think they're ugly.
They're full of dust.
Yes, they're full of dust. They're unsanitary. There's nothing I like about drapes.
Sometimes they can give a room or a place some character.
Well, see, that's what they kept arguing. Like, oh, it gives it softness that you need and a little character, and I'm not buying it.
Not going to lie, I can't live without drapes. I don't want no sunlight.
Well, like in your room is different.
Oh, in my room.
But I'm saying like your main living area. Oh,
no.
Blocks the sun and the view, too.
Right.
You know? Yeah, listen.
I drapes are old-fashioned. I don't like
it. Yeah, I can't argue with
it's
this.
It's like wallpaper.
Yes, it's like wallpaper, but worse. Like, at least wallpaper is just ugly mostly. This is like ugly, and it takes away your sunlight and makes you feel like you're in a cave.
Yeah. And it's a hassle to open and close it.
And they're expensive.
Oh,
my God.
Drape people are like, got them.
Got them. You can get a T-shirt for $1.
Yes.
That same T-shirt on the wall is $2,000. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense.
Number three on your list is live photo on iPhone.
Have you had issues? I get so frustrated because I do all the things they're telling me to do, and then every time I pull up my phone, I shouldn't say every time, but every so now often, I go to take a picture and the live photo's back. I turned you off already.
But the worst part about it is that you realize it was on when you go check the picture that you took.
Well,
it moves a little bit.
Yeah, the worst part is, and it's not a big deal like if you're just taking pictures for yourself, but if you're trying to send pictures to somebody,
oh, dude.
You know, like, let's say I'm naked in my bathroom and I'm taking a picture of something, and then all of a sudden, you know, I mistakenly pointed in a different direction.
Oh, man.
Now the person I sent my photo to has got, you know, blackmail forever on me.
I wasn't sure where you were going with that.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But there's
on
iPhone, there's supposedly like a trick to turn it off forever, and I've done that, and for some reason my phone must have a bug or a glitch where it doesn't work. And I've updated, I've done literally everything. And I'm happy to say that it's not just me, because there's people that like message me and like, yeah, I have the same problem too. I don't know what's going on. So if anybody's listening from Apple, fix that glitch in my phone or I'm going to be mad.
He does not look. He looks like he has a bad temper, guys.
Do you have a bad temper?
He plays football.
I don't think he has a bad temper.
Control
He's from Wisconsin.
See, right?
Yeah.
He's from Wisconsin.
I haven't lost my temper in a while.
Is there here's a serious question. Like, before the game, we're jumping all over the place again. Before the game, when you're like, are you like, I absolutely hate the guy that I'm going against? Or are you more like, this is business, this is my job, let's get this done?
He's
are
from
you like,
Wisconsin.
But in his case, it's different because his job is to protect.
So yeah, but you got to hate that dude in front of you. You got to be like, man, I'm going to F this dude up today.
Well, Joe's here, so what is it?
I'll feel free to chime in on Joe's thoughts. Yeah. No, I think early on in your football career, high school, college, even your first few years in the NFL, you like got your mind into that mindset that I'm going to kill this guy. Hate this guy. Hate everything about him. Yeah. You know, you got to
throw
him.
On that Metallica. And
let's
go.
And then after a while, you realize that as you get older, you know, in your 30s, you're like, man, that takes a lot of energy.
Yeah,
like,
so mad. Much. Pumped up. So much.
So my last
so sleepy.
Like 6 or 7 years, I don't even listen to music. I just sit there and I'm like, all right, when is this game coming?
Yeah.
You know, because it just becomes like your routine. You become like a robot. You get on the field, you do your job, you get off the field. You're just a normal person. There's no emotion involved whatsoever. Because if you follow the highs and the lows of the game, you just get burned out, and then you make mistakes. And I think just having that even temper and even keel the whole game is probably the best. For an offensive player, that's the best way to play, because you always have to be in control and in balance. Now, defense, those guys got to run around with their hair on fire. It's a little different ball game on defense. But offense, I got to be controlled and always easy in the moment.
Go ahead. You mentioned earlier, obviously, that the Browns are young. You guys are a young team, so you got young guys. Makes me think of Richard being with the Nuggets right now.
Yeah, oh yeah, I talked to him yesterday.
Very young team as well. What's been the biggest shock for you, being a veteran on a young squad?
Man, it's funny. So when I was in high school, we didn't have cell phones.
Oh,
and
yes.
When
Wait,
I was
how old are you?
33.
Oh, man, what's up?
So when I was in college, my sophomore year, Facebook came out.
Yep. Remember AIM?
Yes.
Dude, the sidekick.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, the sidekick was, like, amazing.
Oh, it was the best.
And, like, when I was in college, it was 10 cents to text somebody.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah,
like, a cent to receive it. So you didn't, like, do that.
Yeah.
So by the time I got married and got in the NFL, I was, like, beyond all that stuff. So all of the social media and the texting and, like, the dating apps and all this stuff is all new to me. And, like, all these young guys are all into it. And it's like speaking a different language.
Oh, it's amazing.
It's just incredible, like, how different that generation is. And we're only, you know, 10 years apart.
Do you have fun with it, or do you just not pay attention to it? Do you?
Some of it I don't understand. Some of it I don't pay attention to. And some of it I like to tease them about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's what I was.
So we actually, it's funny. Yeah. I just thought of an anecdote. So when we go out to dinner, I made a rule with the O-line. I said, the first person that pulls out your phone at dinner has to pay for dinner.
Oh.
Because otherwise, if you don't do that, the whole dinner, everyone's just sitting in their phone like this,
God,
and you're
amazing.
Not even talking. So I said, okay, the first person that pulls out their phone, you got to pay for it.
Yeah. Oh,
so
dude.
It was really fun, and then now it keeps everybody engaged. It keeps everybody talking and having fun. And the reason we went out to dinner, I could sit at home and eat dinner and text you guys.
Yeah, true.
Oh, my God, that's such a good idea.
Honestly, like, we would do that, but I've been to a dinner where a teammate literally brought an iPad and watched the movie. but, for us, we're around each other a lot.
Yeah.
Like, a lot. It's almost a disgusting amount.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And so sometimes we're like, I get it. You just want to be here, but you don't want to be here. We get it. But, like, that's a great idea. I don't know if that would work for us because.
Well, you have such a great point because when you guys go on road trip, your longest road trips are two days?
We have 10 road trips a year.
Okay.
And
Saturday
usually,
to Sunday.
We leave Saturday afternoon, 2 o'clock,
yeah.
And we're home Sunday within a couple hours after
Except
the game.
When you go to the West Coast, right?
West Friday. Coast, we'll leave Friday, and then we'll be back Sunday night or early Monday morning, and that's it. And that's maybe once every couple years we play West Coast. So there's really not a lot of travel. I mean, we're together in the locker room, but every night you're going home at 6 or 7. And
how many hours do you have to, like, watch film? Because I know a bunch of football players, and I was like, God. Well, don't your eyes hurt from just like 4 hours?
That's a lot of prep. I mean, when I was playing, now that I'm
literally like a month ago.
Wednesday was like 4 or 5 hours as a unit, and then you'd do one or two by yourself. Same thing on Thursday.
So you got to sit there in this room for four or 5 hours.
Meetings usually start about 8, and we have meetings straight through till practice, which is like 1.
What?
And usually the whole time it's watching film.
I quit. I quit. What?
You get mad when Kyle Korver watches film on the plane.
Yeah, because I'd be like, and Kyle, I'm like looking, but I'm not. And Kyle's like, hey, Channing, look at this. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
Okay,
cool,
great.
Cool. But like Kyle and I, we have a great relationship. So most of the time I'm cool with it. And then we just watch our minutes. And most of the time, we might watch another team, but we really don't. Like, because really, it's about us. And, like, basketball is very different, especially in our group.
Well, I'm really curious to hear about your film study, though. I don't mean to cut you off.
No, I want to know. So,
about
like, what Kyle and I look is, like, basketball is very simple. There's, like, you can switch, you can show, or you can double team. So we have to just see, okay, when it's more reactionary. It's like, when they do this, we do that. When they do this, we'll try this. Can you see this? Should we do this? Like, it's technique, but you guys have to see, like, tendencies,
coverage.
Like, different coverages. And you watch a lot more. It seems like you watch a lot more of the defenses where we watch, like, ourself, because there's only so many things any defense can do. So it's like we play so many games.
Yeah.
It's like 82 games. It's like, okay, you're not showing us nothing we haven't seen. Now, mind you, I've been in the league 13. He's been in 16.
And not only that, these guys have so many plays with so many names and codes and everything.
Our second unit especially runs. We run about 3-4 plays, and that's how we like it. Like, 1-2-3. It doesn't work, though. It's a D-Wade, and start running around like you're crazy.
That's fascinating. My illustrious high school career, we watched a little bit of film, but, you know, it was VHS, and it was like,
oh,
you get nothing out of it.
No.
So I was wondering if it was any different.
No, it definitely is.
No, these guys got iPads.
Yeah. You can see your minutes, your shots.
They get just their plays.
Last year, I haven't seen it a lot this year, but last year there were moments where Bron would have one of the coaches would bring during the game. Plays that happen in that game, say it happened in the first quarter, they would bring him an iPad out to show him
clips.
Really?
A lot of young
guys
do that.
On the bench.
Oh, yeah, wow. So you could see like the first 6 minutes, a lot of – I'm not going to say the teams that do it, but you know the teams that do it will run a certain set of plays. I think you guys do that in football. Like, will somebody – like your first
– Yeah, like, we're not allowed video. They can take a
picture.
They've
got pictures.
Picture
these guys get
– Before the snap.
Polaroids, right basically.
Like, they'll be like there are certain teams that will run like, okay, we're going to run – plays 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 up and down the court. So then we see how they run screen and roll with you, how they're guarding you in the post, you know, how they're playing you 1-on-1, where the rotations are coming from. And then when you come out and sit down, you could see those on the iPad and be like, okay, I'm going to attack this. We need to adjust this. And most of the time, it's like your main player, your – like during the playoffs, if somebody's throwing something new at us, like if they're double-teamed from a certain place, like big fella will, like, look and be like, okay – Channing, I'm going to need you to stand there instead of this guy because then they'll have to help from this angle and I could see this and throw that. And it's like his mind's a little different than everyone else's and he's a little different than everybody because he's 6'9". But, like, it's amazing to see how quickly, like, anything that happens, they could write on the iPad and be like, oh, man, I should have. You know, they're forcing me this way or they're forcing me this way. So it's like constantly adjusting.
Not to beat the dead horse, but this is really fascinating for me. How much self-scout and analytics do you use with your own stuff? Like, do you see this shot over here? That's, you know, you're not a really good shooter from this spot. So you should have taken an extra two dribbles and taken a shot from this angle. You're better from here or you're not good from there.
Well, I think it's more like, honestly, I'm on the left side of the floor 99% of the time. So when I'm on the other side of the floor, it's more just – I'm just not really over there that much. You know, most of the time I have the big guy guarding me, and Bron likes – he likes to throw the ball with his right hand or either hand, actually. Yeah. So he likes to see –
Don't give anything away.
No, you know? Oh, God.
No, but to your point –
60 years later, they didn't know that.
But to your point, it's very analytical. Yeah, they have shot charts.
Right,
you can tell how much – what percentage they're shooting from – this corner, from this side, from outside, from the paint. I mean, very unlikely.
So do you ever look at that and go, well, I'm not shooting well from here, so I better keep shooting from over here to get my average back up? Or I'm like, oh, I better avoid that spot.
No. I'm shooting from the same spot all the time. Like, it's more of our system and my relationships that we have with who I'm out there. Most of the time, I'm like, if you see me, I'm running on the same side Kyle's going, unless, like, JR's hot. And JR likes to come off the opposite way. So it's all depending on, like, where Kyle is, where D-Wade is, who likes to shoot where. And then for me, I'm kind of like, let me stand, because I have the biggest guy on me, let me stand as far away from the guy with the ball as possible so that they can see that big guy. And most of the time, he's not going to leave. Or else I'm at the dot his eyeball. I haven't dotted an eyeball in a long time, but.
So the big thing in football is you always want to take away the strengths and the tendencies of your opponent, right?
Right.
Is it like that in basketball where everybody knows what your tendencies are and they try to take it away? So you go in the game going, all right, we're going to fake like we're going to our tendency and then we're going to throw it over here because we know they're going to rotate or do whatever to try to take away our strengths.
We just beat a dead horse. Like, literally, they're like, Channing's going to shoot. And I'm like, yes, I am. And it's just, it's a little different on this team because we have so many weapons and guys that are like vets.
Man. How do you take away all of them?
You can't. I mean, even last night, you look at like
poison.
Jose Calderon. Yeah, they picked their poison. Like, they're like, we have to go underneath Jose Calderon, who's shooting 45% from three, and we're going to take our chances with him, or else it's like, you don't want JR to get hot.
Yeah.
They left.
They did a good job with Kyle.
Yeah, they did a good job with Kyle, but then it's like, Jose gets hot, JR gets hot, Kevin gets hot. Bron, does Bron.
Bron is hot.
And then Jay Crowder makes some big shots. And then I don't know how many Jeff Green got beat up last night.
Oh, he got really bad. I told Jeff after the game.
I've never seen him so bad when he got run over. Yeah.
I told him at the end of the game, you know when Jeff Green is pissed now because his vein in the right side of his head.
Jeff is the most mild.
He doesn't say anything.
No. And that's the problem. When Jeff doesn't give you like a kind of – cheeky smile, I'm like, oh, shit. That boy.
Here we go.
Yeah. Listen, because most of us are pretty mild. Like, you know, during the regular season, play so many games. It's like you can't get angry at everything. So.
Right. You get worn out. If you get so emotional.
But he got banged up last night.
Yeah, he was getting beat
up.
At
the end of the first half, he got run over, and there was no call. And you can tell when he's pissed because he just, like, shakes his head.
Oh, man, yeah. But, you know, it happens. It's good to see that emotion from him. And have once a month, once a week, that's pretty good. I can't wait to see Kyle angry.
In New York, Madison Square Garden.
Was he?
Remember at the Wine and Gold event, Kyle compared cussing to dunking. So Kyle tries to get one dunk a year. He doesn't dunk, obviously.
So they will give him layups. They give him layups because they don't want him to shoot.
His goal is one dunk a year, and we had a Wine and Gold event, and he said that he likes to think of cussing as he does dunking. He doesn't.
Once a year.
He doesn't want to cuss unless he really has to. Something really brings it out. So in Madison Square Garden, he missed three straight threes. He came into a huddle, and whoo, he was hot.
Yeah, but when he cusses, it's like. Flipping sugar.
Bless his little heart.
Bless his heart. But dude, it's just amazing. The personalities on our team are absolutely hilarious, man. Like, it's like, and then you're just around people more and more, and then you start to see how they all, like, mesh and mold, and Oh, man, dude. It's going to be interesting. We're only 20. What game is that?
27, 28?
29 now.
29?
Oh, man.
Don't think about it.
I have a couple more things to get to, but I do want to give it.
Oh, dude.
Oh, God. This is literally what we do.
This is what we do.
Could you imagine drinking?
Wow. Yeah. This would be a two-hour show.
But I do want to give a shout-out because there's a little draft coming in the door as people are walking in. We are at the Homage location, one of our partners, of course, with Road Tripping here at Crocker Park. And we can't thank them enough for opening their doors early, allowing us to come in here and podcast with, of course, Joe Thomas. But to Jillian, Brian, Cameron, Courtney, store manager. It is her birthday today. Give
Happy
her
birthday.
A shout out. And Dan, Elliot, we just want to thank Homage for allowing us to be in this space today. As we do see a lot of fans.
Someone just took a video of my truck.
Around.
You got, is that yours right out
yeah,
there?
Yeah,
that's nice.
Thank
I bet
you,
that goes fast.
Listen. Oh, it does. Not in the snow, though.
No, you need some more aggressive tires, I think.
Yeah, they were aggressive at the beginning, but I drive an hour every day.
Where do you?
It's
West Side or East Side?
West Side. Okay. Right, oh yeah. What do you think we're here?
Yeah. Well, because happy. Homage is amazing.
True. And I live 5 minutes that way.
Joe, something that's been kind of fun. I assume it's because you got a lot more time on your hands.
I do.
How much do you enjoy doing the weather reports?
It's fun. It really is. And especially when we have some inclement weather like we usually do this time of year in Cleveland.
Last week was fat guy weather.
Fat guy weather, right? Yeah, it was cold. I didn't sweat.
Do you sweat doing those?
A bit. Yeah. You know,
do you come up with all your content, everything you say?
I know it's hard to believe, but I do. It's all in my brain. It's been a lot of fun. It's like a minute on camera before the game on the field, and it's been a lot of fun. I don't know how long it's going to go on, but hopefully we get some really snowy games towards the end of the year and we can have some fun with it, maybe throw some snowballs, make some snowmen.
Oh, that's fun.
No.
You gotta have Channing and ask him. I forget the name of the segment you have where you just ask questions, like rapid fire questions.
We do a show that's kind of a joke on the Browns website called the Joe Thomas Hour.
Yeah.
Where I'll sit there and I'll just pepper you with questions for like 2 minutes.
Pepper it up.
Yeah. Do you want to pepper right now?
I usually have a couple questions ready. So.
Dude, please.
Oh,
here we go.
You guys, here we go. Yeah,
I'm usually very good with
the intro. So I can
cue the music so I can find my questions here.
What is your go-to music?
It's the Joe Thomas Hour on Road Tripping.
That's right, the Joe Thomas Hour. So who's the most famous person in your phone?
Oh, LeBron.
Okay. What's something you're bad at?
Finishing stories.
That's why you're a great podcaster.
Right, there we go. There we go.
All right. What's your favorite emoji?
Oh, the thumbs up.
Thumbs up. Okay.
What?
The
brown,
most used.
Brown guy thumbs up.
All right. So this is one that I get mixed reactions. But when you were a kid, did you ever get in your parents' car and turn the car on, and all of a sudden there was something crazy on the radio?
Yeah.
What was it?
It was like. Well, I wouldn't say crazy, but it was like this like Christian religious. But this guy was like, I don't want to say a zealot, but this guy was like so right field. I was like,
you were like,
what
are you asking?
This is not Jesus.
So when I was a kid, I got in my car and my dad's usually like a classic rock country western guy. And he was listening to like Sade.
What?
On like full blast.
First of all, Sade.
She's amazing.
Great. Amazing.
But it was so in left field. I was blown away.
Yeah, they kills.
Yeah. All right. What's the best 80s band?
Oh, best 80s band?
Can you think of any?
The Bengals.
Yeah.
B-52.
I'm not gonna say Prince, but I'm going to say like his crew. Like, God, who is?
The Revolution.
Yes. Prince and the Revolution.
Perfect. Now, I don't know what the drug testing policy is in NBA. This is not a street drug question. This is a substances or performance-enhancing substances.
Right.
So I'm assuming you guys get tested.
Yeah.
Where's the craziest place you've ever been tested? Do people, like, show up at your door? Or do you, like, show up when you're working out somewhere?
So one time I was on vacation in Mexico, and literally they were like, just like – Well, no. They were like, where are you at?
I need your pee.
They were like, where are you at? And I was like, well, I'm in Mexico. And they were like, well, we just happened to have somebody down there in Cabo at the time.
Are you serious?
So, yeah, I was like, all right, cool, what's up? So, goes to the hotel.
Did you pass?
Squishy, squinky. Yeah, always pass. Always pass. I'm not a big weed guy. Like, I understand.
Oh,
like,
so it was a street drugs.
So yeah,
it
wasn't yeah. No. They do that now. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm on steroids.
Yeah.
Get it?
Shredded. Oh, man.
A lot of layers. Slender. This is like the new type. The yoga steroids.
Yes.
The Pilates body. All
right. One more question. Actually, two more. If you could FaceTime with anybody in the world, living or dead, who would it be?
Is my FaceTime getting videoed?
What do you mean?
Isn't so that like what FaceTime someone is? Recording?
Yes. Oh, recording my conversation.
No. It's just you and that person just enjoying a conversation.
Oh, man. Dang. I'm be honest. I'm not a big FaceTime guy. I feel like
all right. You call him on the phone. How about that?
Call him on the phone.
I know you're about my age, so we're not into the FaceTime.
No,
we're,
I'm just call him on the phone. Just call me or text me.
All right, you can have lunch with anybody in the world.
Have lunch with anybody in the world. Honestly, it'd be Barack Obama. He's cool as shit. Met him once.
Really?
Me a great hug.
Oh, that's right. Because you guys won.
Yeah. We did a little something.
You're like, hey man,
Joe, when you guys win,
my phone.
Yeah.
He's like,
just give me a call about that.
When you guys win, you can take a trip to the White House.
I'm all for it.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm ready for a Super Bowl. I'm ready for a playoff. Let's get there first. All right, last question. Three words I want you to pronounce into your microphone right there.
Faux pas.
Beautiful.
Q.
Yes.
Asinine.
Oh, my gosh. Three for three.
Are you kidding? They got a degree? Oh, yeah, I forgot.
What was the first one?
Faux pas. Yeah.
Could you give us a good definition?
It's Toledo torpedoes. We're not known for
faux pas. Faux pas.
Yes. Or just use it in a sentence. That would be more fun.
That's a fashion faux pas.
That's perfect. That was well done.
Nice what do you got to say about that, Channing?
I don't know. You're the fashionista.
I was going to say my dog has four paws.
That's funny. That is beautiful.
Oh, Lord. All right. Well, I don't want to cut this, but Channing has a mandatory meeting to get to.
Yeah, mandatory. Do you want me to call Ty? I'll let him know.
Listen, this is NBA. He's not showed up.
Oh, my word.
This is great, dude.
This is great. I do have one final thing for you. Are you a part of any charities? Do you have any charities or?
Yeah, I like getting involved with a lot of things. Two that I'm passionate about is the Providence House in the Cleveland area, mm-hmm. and then Shoes and Clothes for Kids, which is another Cleveland charity.
Awesome.
Shoes and Clothes for Kids?
Yeah. So,
is there any kids that wear a size 18?
I'm sure there's a few. There's probably not a lot.
No, but we sell those. I'm buying Shoes Kids.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, but no, shoes. they're semi-worn shoes. So I don't know who would buy them. But dude, if I give away,
it's a giveaway thing. So what it is it's basically a huge warehouse for teachers to be able to come, and they get school supplies, you know, school outfits, all the stuff for the kids in the Cleveland School District that can't afford them or don't have those type of things, so that they stock their classroom with all that good stuff.
Dude, I'll gladly give you so much. Yeah. I give so much stuff to Goodwill. Like I literally. Like a month ago, I had the back of my truck filled with, like, mind you, it's stuff that fits me, but it's just like they're Nike stuff from like a year or two ago that like I've worn once or twice. And I'm like, okay, I gotta like keep getting them out of my closet.
You know how many things I take to Goodwill that says like Browns in my name, like embroidered on it, but I just don't ever wear it. I'm like, what am I gonna do with it?
Right, exactly.
So like, I can imagine somebody like going through Goodwill and is like, Joe Thomas, 73 Browns and 3XL?
Oh, dude.
Huh, that's interesting. $2? What's going on with this guy?
Yeah.
You'd be surprised, though. I know you don't have the most, you know,
what?
Across the line size.
Oh, yeah, but dude, I don't care.
You'd be surprised,
like, I'll hook it up.
People that need it. And
I'll hook it up with some kids.
You can use your stuff as blankets.
Cool with me. Leia, that sucker.
How do people get involved? How do they? Is there a website?
So you can find them both online. We actually just did our Providence House event. It was called the Deck the House at the Brown Stadium last week. Mm-hmm. I was an honorary co-chair, and I did the emceeing with Andrea Vecchio that night, which was really fun. The Providence House is a cool location also. Mm-hmm. It's a place where kids can go when their parents are receiving like addiction treatment temporary jail stays or something like that, so that the children don't have to go to foster care.
So they're able to stay
in the Providence House, and the parents are able to see them while they're getting their life straightened out, and it's really impactful for children in this area.
That's
amazing. That's awesome. Yeah.
You're a good dude.
I don't know about that. I appreciate it.
You
I
are
play one
dude.
On podcasts.
And to our 6 million listeners and those who have jumped on board with Road Tripping over the last year or so, we want to give a shout out to Joe Thomas. His first NFL podcast in NFL history with Joe Thomas can be found on iTunes and Google Play. So go give him a follow. We gave you a little glimpse of Joe if you don't know who he is off the field.
Yeah, Channing approves of Joe.
And Channing approves.
Hopefully the first victory for the Browns come I'm this ready. Weekend after being on Road Tripping, or maybe we want to save it to ruin the Steelers' home field advantage at the end of the season.
How about both?
There you go.
How about both?
That would be good, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And then, of course, again, a shout out to Homage for allowing us to be in here in this space
homage.
Today. Homage.
That classic jacket is awesome, by the way.
Yeah,
that's a nice looking jacket. You got that here?
Yeah, right there.
That's awesome. Might pick one up on the way out.
Yeah, yeah, pick it up.
So, yeah, for now, perfect. That is another edition of Road Trippin'. Richard versus Channing for Joe Thomas.
Team
yeah.
Channing.
Joe T. Rafa,
I'm about to rock some Browns gear now.
You have to?
I can't. I'm a Cardinals fan.
What are you about, a large, extra tall?
No. XLT, dog.
XLT, yo.
I'm just slimming
up.
Down.
No, slimming up. Slimming down.
Look. I told you that Pilates body is in right now.
That'll do it. Hey, Road Trippin' fans, don't forget, we're working with a t-shirt company that you may have seen around, Homage. They're the ones that are responsible for LeBron's Ultimate Warrior shirt and many of the college designs you see on tees. As they pay homage to great moments in sports and inspiring stories, go check out their NBA Jam tees at homage.com. You're sure to be inspired and will get a kick out of their special design for Richard and Channing, along with three other designs specific to the Road Trippin' fan. Get them while they're still in stock at homage.com.